This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We got to find out what is going on with Odell. What's he looking for?
Lamar Jackson.
I don't think anybody saw this coming.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now, isn't that amazing? At the beginning of the week, I'm like, okay, by some point by the end of this week, we're going to find out where he's going.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Super Bowl champion Ndamukong Suh. Senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Ndamukong Suh will be joining us in studio. He's going to sue everybody. Yes, that's a Jerky Boys reference to kick off hour number two of this program. That's just for you, Mike. That's just for you, Jerky Boys.
Get me Brett Weir.
I don't need to talk to you.
I don't need to talk to you. And then we're not going to finish that sentence because I won't say that to Ndamukong.
You shouldn't. No, no.
I don't need to talk to you, Jerky.
How'd you like a kick?
Gosh, man.
I mean,
I loved the Jerky Boys.
I remember the original cassette when I got the original cassette that was like a bootleg of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the funniest stuff ever. And
I'll come up with the ear joint.
It just hit. It was huge. It was gigantic.
It was amazing.
It sounded like a longtime producer of Punk'd would love the Jerky Boys.
TJ,
I don't need to talk to you.
I don't need to talk to you. At any rate, he's going to sue everybody. All of us here, Ndamukong Suh here on our program. Chris Mannix, hour number three. The NBA playoffs are set, 1 through 6. We'll find out who's 7 and 8. Heat and the Hawks, the Lakers, and the, one would think, maybe Gobertless Timberwolves. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they got to let them play.
You do think so, huh?
I mean, your season's on the line. Yeah, you give up your whole team to acquire the guy.
By the way, Bulls-Raptors is a really fun 9-10 game on Wednesday night.
You're beating the Hawks.
And then Thunder and the Pelicans.
Bulls are beating the Raptors.
Zion is not playing in that one. But anyway, we'll talk about it with Chris Mannix in about an hour. That's all set. We'll talk to Masters here on this program. Overreaction Monday about to hit before Ndamukong Suh. Before we get to that, I mean, you know, I said my piece on Odell signing with the Ravens to kick off our program. If you missed my full-on take, if you will, and that is of interest to you, stay tuned right here on this show on the Roku channel. We re-air as soon as the show is over on Channel 210. There's our podcast, also our YouTube page. There's the Rich Eisen Show collection page of anything that you miss. We greatly appreciate everybody hitting with a subscribe or follow on any of those spots. That would be great. And it's just a home run of a move. It's a great way for the Ravens to basically have somebody other than the owner, general manager, or coach tell Lamar, come back. And Odell's telling him, essentially, you know, let's do this together. I mean, let's just put it this way. He didn't put his son in a Rashad Bateman jersey. And I don't say that it's not to denigrate. I mean, it's Lamar's jersey on his son. So he wants to play with Odell, and we just talked to Tom Pelissero in hour number one. Tom said that Lamar seemed to be actively recruiting Odell while Odell was getting set to talk to the Ravens at the owners' meeting, at which it was revealed that Lamar asked for a trade in early March because Lamar's the one who hit send on that tweet at the owners' meeting. During the owners' meeting. I mean, it sure looks like everything points to Lamar's going to stay put in Baltimore. And I ask you guys what you think. Chris, you want to chime in here? We could chop it up a bit before we get to Overreaction Monday.
I don't know if it matters. Like, I'm not sure Odell's going to be very good anymore. He hasn't played in a year. We saw him. He was having a nice Super Bowl, obviously, but that's another injury to his knee.
Yes.
At a position that, correct me if I'm wrong, you need those to play very well at a high level. And
what if it brings Lamar back into the fold? It's worth every penny.
There was a video of them at the club together afterward that kind of was making the rounds. They were sitting next to each other. So maybe it brings him
back.
You
mean last night?
Yeah. So is it?
Because the UFC was in Miami, Odell was there,
yeah,
and so that's obviously where Lamar spends his offseason.
Right, so there's a sign like, congratulations, and there's Lamar in the white hat, and there's Odell. So, look, I mean, I'm not sure where this leaves them. He's clearly unhappy with the organization.
Well, he's unhappy with the offer.
Potentially. We don't really know for sure. All of his tweets have been pretty cryptic in that regard, outside of he clearly stated what was going on with his injury. But he asked for a trade, which gives me the indication. If I asked you for a trade to a different show, and a month later I'm kind of still here, but I'm disgruntled.
Like pulling a Costanza?
Yeah, like what does that tell you? So I just don't see this ending well.
But business deals, I mean, let's not forget, the business deal, just to use the club analogy, was it a club here in Los Angeles using a similar? Do all these clubs have a similar marquee?
Similar signage, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I'm a 53-year-old man. Club for me is either soda or, you know, along with the diamonds, hearts, and spades. But that for purely one would say personal purposes that have nothing to do with cash. Didn't Debo?
Yeah.
Somebody held up one of those signs saying, you know, go back to 49ers, and he's like, forget it. And we were all like, he's never going back. Money, the right deal answers everything. And to me, this is a way for Lamar. Let's put it this way. This is insurance to make sure Lamar doesn't do the holdout into the season. I'm not playing. I'm not showing at all. Because then he doesn't play with Odell, and Odell's there saying to him, hey, come on. But I'm sure Odell, if there's anybody who understands somebody's got to do their own business deal, it would be Odell Beckham Jr. to understand that.
It's a one-year deal for Odell, and then maybe Lamar plays this year in a 1 year, and they see how it goes. And
yes,
And then if they miss the playoffs, then we'll go our separate ways.
And Steve Bisciotti's already told a quarterback before, hey, go win the Super Bowl and put the bag on the table, and I'll give it to you. And he did it with Flacco.
Yeah. It's going to cost more than the $100 million.
And if you bring the running game, and you bring the health on the offensive line, and you bring Mark Andrews, and you bring Roquan Smith, and you bring the health on the defensive side, Marlon Humphrey, and everybody.
Bateman's going to be healthy.
This is a team that can go ahead and make some hay if Lamar stays healthy and is engaged.
New offensive coordinator.
If that is what's required, yeah.
Someone pointed out Todd Monken was the OC for Odell's last 1,000-yard season in Cleveland. So they know each other.
Right? It's not like this is out of the realm. And to me, to spend the $15 million to bring Odell and tell the fan base, look, we hear you with the whole wide receiver thing.
That's
it feels like
a lot to me.
It is, but also, you know,
it's a lot.
If they're not paying their quarterback $50 million guaranteed.
True, these are, you know, 30 whatever on the tag.
So 30 plus the 18 equals the 50. The 32 plus the 18. I don't know.
It's a lot of money. It just makes sense off the field. What we always talk about, what it's going to bring off the field, those Odell Beckham jerseys, that's going to be top two seller. I'm just going to predict that right now.
Well, they already sold one.
Well, that was...
Or do you think they got it for nothing?
That was probably free. But, like, you know, the Odell jerseys, Chris, you know, Odell is just... He's a brand.
Yeah.
He's insanely popular. He's going to bring eyes to that.
So. And you know what it also obliterates? It obliterates the top receivers just aren't going to choose Baltimore ever. It obliterates that.
You're assuming that Odell's still a top receiver.
He is a top receiver in the mind's eye of all the other top receivers. You're talking to certain audiences.
I'm super.
Last we saw him, he was on. He was ready to win the Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm. That was two Super Bowls ago.
I get it, but that was also coming off of he's washed. Look what happened to him in Cleveland.
True.
His dad sending out all these videos like it's the Zapruder films pointing at the finger in Cleveland, he should look in the mirror, and then he shows up in Los Angeles and dominates.
And I get your point, Chris. He's coming off of injuries, and for a lot of players, that signals the end. But with the medical advances that we have, and the fact that Odell he's built different. Like, that saying, it means one thing, but legitimately, that man is built different. And if anyone can come back at a high level, I'm going to say that dude can do it.
And I'm not saying I'm not rooting for him.
Target emoji on that, plus one.
We like him, but I'm just going to remain skeptical. I need
I
to
get
see it.
No, yeah. I understand you need to see it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for the moment, to communicate to Lamar when things aren't going seemingly great, and to communicate to the rest of the to their fan base and to the rest of the wide receiving community that we're a viable spot. This is a home run. Let's get to Overreaction Monday so we can get to Ndamukong Suh right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Hit it. Hit it. Hit it.
What's up, everybody? We're back. It's Monday, and let's just start right to it, Rich. I do have this. Odell to Ravens is enough to buy at least one more year with Lamar Jackson.
I think that's that is not an overreaction at all. Go for it. Go for it. Hey, Lamar, I'm here. 1 year. I'll kill it. You kill it. We kill it together. Let's get a ring, and let's tell everybody in Baltimore that we're absolutely indispensable together. And let's stay here forevermore, and let's prove it to everybody. Let's go. That's one way to put it. Or I'll help you earn your bag, or you go get your bag right now because they need you more than ever now that I'm here. That's another way to look at it. Everything points to this is helpful for Lamar, and I'd love to see them play together. By the way, they play the Rams this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's already reeks of night game for the whole country to pull up a chair and watch. So, let's go. It's going to be nothing but fireworks and excitement, and I think that's at least a proper... That's not an overreaction by any way, shape, or form. What else, sir?
All right, these next ones might be. We're a little over 2 weeks from the NFL draft, and I'm just thinking about the Carolina Panthers, thinking about what they've been going through recently. Like, Matt Rhule made it 38 games. Coaches are getting let go, or like, you don't get a long time to build something.
Wonder
right?
Where you're going with this.
You don't get a chance, so you got to take your shot when you have it. The Panthers should take Anthony Richardson first overall.
Well, that's not an overreaction, but
that's
I think it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Because the way that they've built everything with Miles Sanders there and bringing in Adam Thielen and bringing in everybody, that they want to use a quarterback that can start week one. And if Richardson isn't that guy, that even if he does have the upside, he is huge physically. Upside is huge figuratively. Stroud is more fresh out of the box. Same thing with Bryce Young. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think that's an overreaction.
They have Andy Dalton there to kind of start the first 6, 7, 8 weeks. And then you kind of keep the seat warm and give A. Rich some rest.
Teach him. Let me just say this.
Teach him.
Week one, Andy Dalton, full Magic Johnson. As a starter, he ain't going to be there.
I don't know, man.
Full really? Magic Johnson. We need that as a drop. We need to get that in our arsenal. Make a note for our post show call. What else, Chris?
Hey, did you see what our buddy Carson Palmer said over the weekend?
Yeah.
Palmer is right. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, my gosh. He said that Mahomes wasn't consistent. As consistent as Burrow. I know what he's saying. I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying.
Playground.
I get what he's saying, and I know he might be even biased for Cincinnati. You know how I feel about Burrow. But after the year Mahomes just had. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, look at the record head-to-head.
I got to call Carson. Maybe get him on the show to see, just to kick the tires on all that. But I did see what he said.
Head-to-head record, 3-1.
Not as consistent. Nah.
No.
Sorry. I am already... as apologetic as I possibly could have been to Chiefs Nation. I believe our fences have been mended in advance of my trip to Kansas City.
It was a rough year for you with those guys.
I am not twitching in that direction.
You're welcome there now.
I don't know yet. I'll let you know.
You didn't get your KC privileges revoked.
I have not. I am not riding Zed's chopper into Kansas
in
City.
Yeah.
That's not happening. So let's just leave it at that. What else, Chris?
Aaron Judge, you see what he did over the weekend?
Yes, he's got four home runs. He had a multi-home run game on Sunday. Yeah.
Is Aaron Rodgers been introduced? Did I miss that yet? Did I miss that?
What happens first? Judge gets 10 home runs or Rodgers is the quarterback of the Jets?
Aaron Rodgers not a Jet until at least May.
That's not happening.
So at least
maybe. I'll tell you what, it may be dicey. We may get through the first night of the draft, and Aaron Rodgers may still be a Packer. But when the Jets go on the clock, 42nd and 43rd overall in this draft on Friday night, come on.
What do you mean, come on? It's been 6 weeks already.
Got it.
I'm just saying.
By the way, I hope he's not a Jet until late May, because that means Rodgers might show up to an organized team activity. I need to know, when is the mandatory organized team activity for the Green Bay Packers? That's another note. Packers, I need to know when that is, because Rodgers would be mandated to show up there. How great would it be if he shows up there and says, I'm just here so I won't get fined? That would be incredible. Just pulls a full-on Marshawn Lynch. He should show up in Marshawn Lynch's jersey and do it. I'm just here so I won't get fined. What else? Anybody else want to ask me a question about why I'm not a Jet yet? Please make that happen. Overreaction late May.
Yeah, you never know.
You got one more?
Never know. I had a couple. Let's see. Quick NBA one. I think the NBA playoffs are going to be super weird. I'm going to say at least one major upset in the first round.
Which means what? Would you say Knicks beating the Cavs, is that upset?
No, I'm talking like...
You're talking like Lakers beating the Grizz?
7-2, yeah. 8-1, 7-2, something wild.
Okay.
Something crazy.
It's weird. We're listening to NFL Films music right now. We've moved on, Mike. We've moved on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
What are you doing over there?
I don't know what he's doing over there. Anyway, I will take...
Tell them?
I will take... sure. That's not an overreaction. I mean, crazier things have happened. So,
all right.
What else? You got one more?
Yeah, so someone from LIV is going to win a major this year.
Oh, okay. That's not an overreaction either.
LIV had a great day. Four out of the top six in the Masters.
I got you. Oh, yeah. Why not?
Well, you know, Brooks got confused. He thought it was a 54-hole.
Nice one. Mm-hmm. I know that. But what about Patrick Reed? What about Phil? Come on,
Phil had shot a 65, his lowest Masters round since 96.
Oh, it was his lowest Masters round in the final round ever. Oh, that makes sense. The whole idea that LIV, these guys aren't prepared because they're playing the LIV Tour. Can we stop with that nonsense?
Pretty fun.
These are still the same guys, you know? But Koepka, you know, even though he's yoked, it's 30 holes. I mean, that's not for everybody.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, Rahm actually got through it very well, despite Zach Ertz, what he did. We'll discuss that later. All right, let's take a break. And Ndamukong Suh is going to join us in studio next. This is going to be fun. Stay tuned. Chris Mannix on the latest on the NBA playoffs as well, still to come. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has 3 great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number 2 expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetista Alice and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as Ndamukong Suh has done just that right here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of the NFL Network and NFL Broadcast Boot Camp, where a whole host of current NFL players and former NFL players were learning the trade of what may be their next chapter in life. And it's remarkable, Ndamukong, as I was researching for your visit here, because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional.
Yeah.
You were the second overall pick of the 2010 NFL draft. And I'm just wondering, who else is still around from that first round? And Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
And Linval Joseph was a second round pick, and you played with all three of the guys in the Super Bowl. That's unbelievable.
Two great guys, especially BG. I just got to know Linval that season.
Right.
I've watched him from afar, especially when he's out here playing for the Chargers. But, I mean, there's not many of us left in that 2010 season. I think another great is that we actually beat in the NFC Championship was Trent Williams. He's I think in the top five is just myself and him.
Right. Trent Williams, I saw Roger Saffold is still around. Oh, Jerry Hughes is still around.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting here just a few short days before the NFL draft. What was your draft night like in 2010?
My draft night was pretty interesting. So I got actually a phone call from Tampa in the Bucks, and they wanted me to drop down to number three. And I was like, you've got 12 picks. Like, give up some of the picks and come get me.
That's what you told them, or you were thinking that?
Yeah, for sure. That's what I told them. I was like, I mean, most likely St. Louis isn't going to take me at the time, because they needed a quarterback, and so they took
Sam Bradford.
And so at that time, I was like, most likely not going first, probably going to be second, but you can come up and get me. You have extra picks. I'm sure Detroit may want to do something, even though I had a good interview with them, and they said they wanted to come and get me. But I didn't find out until later, after I got picked, that a guy named Gunther Cunningham, old veteran, was Kansas City, was a great guy. He was like adamantly like, you are a blue chipper. I am not letting you go. I am taking you at two. And the rest is history.
Well, knowing Gunther, as I did get to briefly know him, you probably cleaned up that language here for the Rich Eisen Show.
There's no doubt I cleaned up that language. Gunther likes F-bombs.
He might have said a few other choice words within there. So that's why Detroit was just hanging up the phone on Tampa to go get you.
No question, because they tried to do it. And like I said, Gunther told me the whole story once I got there into the city. But, I mean, I've always believed everything happens for a reason.
Right.
And I loved my entire time in Detroit, and I still spend time back there. I have a home there, have mentors there, so it's a beautiful city, and I love it.
Right, and then so it was a short night for you, at least that night. Who was with you that night in the green room?
My mother, my father, my older sister, and my agents, and then I had a bunch of family and friend, my two best friends from college, and one of my best friends from high school. They were all in the stands, and so we got to celebrate afterwards, and then it was actually back to business, because I had a phone call that night. I went out for maybe a couple hours, but Kyle VandenBosch called me and said, I hope you're ready to work. So got up and trained that next morning and got on a flight to Detroit.
Look at you in that three-piece right there. Look at you.
It was absolutely beautiful. So being there with my mom, my dad, and my sister, and my close family friends was a great time. So.
And how does a kid from Portland, Oregon wind up in Nebraska?
It was interesting. So my sister actually played soccer at Mississippi State.
Okay.
There's a guy named John Blake that passed away recently, unfortunately. He used to be the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, but he was at the time working at Mississippi State, had a connection there. My sister was like, you should recruit my little brother. I don't know who your brother is. Like, so we connected all the dots. He ended up going with Bill Callahan to Nebraska as a D-line coach and recruited me my junior, senior year. And so fell in love with his enthusiastic way and how he talks and is a great human being. But made the decision, like, I've known Nebraska as a historic program and wanted to be a part of something special. And we had a great class that came in.
Right.
And I got to play early. So it was the best of both worlds.
So sold. And so sold. A kid from Portland, Oregon winds up right in the middle of the country.
Yeah. I didn't want to stay home because I had Oregon State. But half my high school went to either one of them.
Right.
I looked at the University of Miami. They didn't really have my engineering degree that I wanted to focus on at that particular time. And that's what I ended up becoming. And then I looked at University of Cal. and their program for engineering was very good,
mm-hmm.
but it was very difficult to get into. And I knew I was going to be able to have to balance sports and football. And even though, like, Nebraska, the program wasn't seen as hard to get in because I didn't have to take a test to get in.
Yes.
It was a top five program. So I felt like it was the best mix between the two.
And Dominick Sue here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of, again, that season with the Philadelphia Eagles, came so close to winning the Super Bowl for a second time in your career. You played in three of them.
Yeah. Three Super Bowls. One here with L.A. When they moved over here, and then we unfortunately lost to the Patriots. And I told Tom when we got to Tampa together, mm-hmm. man, you owe me one. So we went and took care of business his first year that he got down there.
How does he respond when you say to him, you owe me a Super Bowl? I imagine
there was some choice words that I'll keep between us.
Yes.
But I mean, overall, it was just more or less having fun and just interacting with each other from that standpoint. No hard feelings, because actually I still have hard feelings because we played. I believe our defense played an amazing game that year.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, just couldn't put up enough. There was one point.
I know there was just one touchdown scored in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the one that just occurred.
Yeah.
When you see the James Bradberry penalty call, yeah. you think what?
I think it's unfortunate. It's technically a hold. As a ref, if I was in that position, maybe I'm biased. I don't call that. I let that play go on, especially mm-hmm. seeing that the receiver wasn't even able to get anywhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball was clearly over his head. But then also from that standpoint, I take that play completely away. We were up by, if I'm not mistaken, a 10 or 15 point lead at mm-hmm. half, and you give up 28 points in the second half as a defense, you don't deserve to win the game.
So that's the way you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Do you sit around behind the wheel of a car? Does it ever hit you? Like how close you came this time around?
Oh yeah, no question. But I try not to live in the past. For whatever reason, like I said before, everything happens for a reason. So
right.
We'll see what that reason is. Sometime in the future, it'll have an epiphany.
Where does Jalen Hurts rank amongst teammates for you?
He's up there. I don't have a specific number for him, but I got a lot of respect for that kid.
Why?
Jalen Hurts is one of those guys that just being around him for 10 to 15 weeks.
Yeah, it's just brief time.
Brief time. Yeah. Like just seeing him work. And the conversations that we were able to have centered around some business things that he's looking to do and some stuff that he had some opportunities with. Like, he is very sharp, very special, and he is a tireless worker. So I got a lot of respect for a guy at that age to have that type of focus and determination. He's going to be in this league for a long time.
Well, I mean, you're an umpteen-year veteran here in Dominican. So what is he – he's picking your brain on business opportunities?
So we have some mutual friends.
Warren Buffett?
No, not Warren Buffett.
Okay.
That one I've been super lucky with. There's not many people that are fortunate enough to have that relationship. So it's a great one. But we were actually talking about some business in and around marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my passions in life is to be able to, I've been able to be exposed to a ton of different things in life.
Yes.
Especially because of being an NFL player. And so being able to share some of my experiences and my thoughts of some deals that were on the table for him,
yes,
was kind of our conversation. I'll keep it private because okay. I don't
yeah,
want
sure.
him to
understand. Yeah. But no, I just find it interesting that he's at this part of his career and he's already thinking about all those other aspects of what can come from his hard work.
Yeah.
And so is there, and I understand what I'm about to ask, but are there any similarities between him and Brady where you see the way they go about their business or anything, just anything at all?
I would say the similarities that I see between the two of them, because they're obviously completely two different players,
no doubt.
But their work ethics and their determination to push other people around them
mm-hmm.
in a positive manner. I think that's a great leadership trait, and everybody has their particular ways of doing different things. And the one thing I really like about Jalen, maybe because I'm very similar in that aspect of the way he leads is by example versus by always talking and yelling and doing those different particular pieces, where Tom was a little bit more boisterous, which rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of his personality to have those overall conversations to the ultimate group, to where Jalen likes to pull guys to the side, have those conversations, but also at the same time can address the entire group and has comfortability to do it in a very sharp way.
And Dominick and Sue here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let me just jump into your career as a whole. I've been around, obviously, since the beginning to currently right now. So I remember your early years. And I always, and I'll ask you point blank, I always found it, you know, confusing to me, because meeting you and having this conversation, this is not the first time, but this might be the longest conversation you and I have ever had.
Yeah.
But you're cool and collected, mm-hmm. and you know, your bright light is on.
Yeah.
And then you get on a field and it, frequently you couldn't, it seemed like, control yourself.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate description or inaccurate? Well, how would you describe it?
I would call it a biased viewpoint.
Okay.
And the reason why is because a lot of people haven't taken the time to get to know me. And if you get to know me, you understand that the way I work and how I am off the field compared to how I'm on the field,
mm-hmm.
I am focused on when I'm between those white lines. And my ultimate goal is to disrupt and create ultimate havoc for an offense. And if I don't have people upset at me, then I'm not doing my job.
So you would purposefully maybe play outside the rules?
I think being on the edge and being very dominant looks a lot of different ways. And I think because of my talent, a God-given talent of being fast, explosive, and able to hock down a quarterback or running back, it looks a lot different compared to what other players do. I can't help that I've been given special talents from my parents and my genetics,
mm-hmm.
and then also build on top of that from the hard work and the different things I do. And I mean, there's plays that you could go back to. It was like, there's no way that you call that. But I guess I had a reputation with refs in the league or whatever it may be.
Yes.
To where they wanted to point it out. And there was actually one particular time when Tim Tebow was in the league.
Fellow first rounder from 2010.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Whereas they had him on NFL page as the god and me as a villain.
How'd that make you feel?
It's not true, but that's what sells tickets, and that's what makes the league. And to me, the one greatest thing that I learned was to embrace those things, and I learned that actually from Phil Knight, one of the greatest marketers in the world.
What'd he tell you?
Embrace it. Have fun with it. Use it to your advantage. And there's not many people that have your name and likeness based off of what you prove it, and we know who you are as a person, and you're not a bad guy. You're actually one of the best guys that I've been able to be around, very similar to how they created Jordan's prowess and everything that he's been able to accomplish
right.
in his life.
So you wouldn't say during your early years on the field,
mm-hmm.
you didn't have a temper issue or anything?
No, definitely didn't have a temper issue.
Wow, because you know so many people would think quite differently,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
I think so, but they also don't know me.
They don't. And so in that respect, I think a lot of people might be surprised that you're interested in the world of broadcasting as well.
Yeah.
In Dominican. And you are, for sure?
I definitely am interested.
Like, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? If you could wave a wand and Dominican Sue has a gig in media, it would be which?
I think ideally I'd be in the studio, being able to break down film, talk about guys, and give my opinion,
mm-hmm.
And really an educated opinion. I think sometimes we have these talk show hosts that we were talking about earlier, you're watching your competition, that just blurt out things for clicks,
mm-hmm.
and views, where there's never, or not, I won't say never, there's not always a great defensive perspective that's provided. And I'd like to be one of those guys. And I think I'd be very good at it.
And so you want to try a couple on for size right here?
Sure.
Okay. What advice would you give Lamar Jackson right now?
Having been in his shoes and done my own deals, mm-hmm. Stay firm. Understand where the market is. Do your research. Be prepared to go into those particular meetings and find a way, if you want to be with the Ravens, to where it's a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think in all business deals, it has to be a win-win, and somebody has to give up something on both sides to be able to meet in the middle and be successful.
The problem is, though, it doesn't look like he can get any meetings right now because of whatever it is.
Yeah.
The fact that he is franchise tagged in the manner in which he's been franchise tagged, that it would cost another team 2 first round picks. And then the word is of how much money he wants.
Yeah.
And he wants as much money, if not a dollar more than Deshaun Watson. He didn't finish the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Or do you think, I'll throw it right at you, do you think there's some form of a collusion going on amongst owners in the NFL in Dominican Sue? These are the questions
that
will have to be asked of you.
I'm on the collusion piece. I'll answer that first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unsure. Do owners talk and do they have all that information? They just came from an owner's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
there's no question there's information out there. And so some teams have already made the decision of how they want a particular move for. Do you call that collusion, or do you see that as they just don't see it and fit in their plan for how they look at their particular team? And being able to not have all the information, it's tough to say exactly how Lamar should be able to move forward on this particular deal. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, as you mentioned, it's always a written rule, even in the draft. The next guy that's up should receive more, if not very similar to what the guy who the last guy was paid. That's what everybody wants to go and look. Jalen Hurts, he's waiting to see what Lamar is going to get because he's next in line and he wants to exceed that and he wants to reset the market. I can guarantee you that.
And Lamar might be waiting for Hurts, and Hurts might be waiting for Burrow, who might be waiting for Herbert, who might be waiting for Hurts. Yep. It's just I understand what you're saying. To me, Lamar should be, he's not out there enough. I was suggesting on the show that if Meek Mill is calling Robert Kraft to say, my buddy's interested in playing for your team, then he should call up Meek Mill and say, hey, next time, let's just say the Sixers play the Celtics in the NBA playoffs, which, Chris, as far as I'm...
Seems likely.
Okay. Hey, Meek, when you're going to the game in Boston, bring me as a plus one. So I'll show up in front of all the Patriots fans.
And I
don't know if that'll get him his deal, but you understand, as somebody who just told a story about being the villain to, you know, the deity and of Tim Tebow, perception matters a whole heck of a lot when you're trying to get a deal done of some sort. Would you?
No, perception definitely does. And I think that's where sometimes when you have an agent, they're able to leak certain information to persuade folks to believe certain things. But I think just truthfully going back to the nuts and bolts of the deal, I think Lamar needs to make a decision, as I did when I was a top free agent and moved to Miami. What's going to make you comfortable and what's going to be best for you and your family? And stick with that.
Did you make the most when you did make the
I
most?
Reset
when
the
you,
market.
To, you reset the market.
Reset the market.
Damn straight you did. And Dominic Sue here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so your future is what? Do you want to play more?
I don't know yet. It's got to be, honestly, the right situation. Last year, I waited till the middle of the year, and I had a bunch of phone calls prior to that, whether before the season, during the middle of the season. I mentioned this the other day. 49ers wanted me to come, and I wanted to actually go to that team because they had one of my favorite defensive line coaches, and I knew the system I was going to get in. It was going to be like riding a bike.
Right.
But it wasn't the right situation at the end of the day from all-encompassing. I got – two baby boys.
How old are they?
Just turned two this couple Sundays ago. So want to spend time with them, but at the same time, trying to figure out that decision of actually worth if there's going to be a perfect fit for me to be able to find somewhere. And I want to win as well.
So, I mean, you could, if you want, to do what you just did again.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Where you take your time and then around September, October, you go ring hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no problem with that.
I'll say this. All options are on the table.
Okay. What about the Jets?
I don't know.
I mean, what if they get Aaron Rodgers, right? All right, how about this?
Yeah.
Do you think the Jets become a Super Bowl team when Aaron Rodgers arrives?
Aaron Rodgers and that deal transpires, do I believe they will be a Super Bowl contender? No. I believe.
Why is that?
I think Aaron Rodgers is amazing, and I think he's a great quarterback, but there's a lot of things that have to transpire to be able to become Super Bowl contenders. And I understand that they have an elite defense, but I'm not sure where their overall offense is right now.
Okay.
And just adding one particular piece, it's a little bit different. I actually had the experience of being able to go through something that is similar in Tampa, Florida with the Bucks. Tom came there, but I was there the year prior, and I was able to see the entire team and what was built on the defense side of the ball and what was built on the offense side of the ball. And now plugging and playing and putting an elite quarterback in that position, it made more sense to be able to reach a particular Super Bowl, in my opinion. And based on our division, that division is very, very difficult. And I don't even think if Aaron Rodgers goes there, will they be the top team in that division.
Then that would be which one then, do you think?
Which team would be?
In the AFC East.
In the AFC East. I mean, you got Buffalo. You got Miami. If Tua stays healthy, I mean, they're going to be a huge problem. And then Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick. He always finds a way to win games and be very, very competitive. Mm-hmm. And he's looking to make some big moves himself.
Okay. All right. And Dominican, before I let you go, Chris, ask him, see if he wants to do it. Go ahead. I know what you want him to do right
can
now.
Can we FaceTime Warren Buffett real quick?
Can we FaceTime Warren Buffett real
quick? Just need some stock tips. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a tough market these days.
We can't FaceTime him.
Why?
Because he doesn't have a cell phone.
Come on.
let alone an iPhone.
Wait a minute.
What?
So Warren's just somewhere. Somebody needs Warren.
Yeah.
What, he sent out a smoke signal? Like he's, what do we do?
Miss Debbie, who I communicate with more the majority of the time, and actually just spoke to her a few days ago.
Yes.
Is how I get a hold of him.
Is that his?
That's his secretary.
That's his secretary.
Yeah, his executive assistant.
Okay.
And every time I've called him, I've always called the house phone. So.
Oh, wow. So you've got the direct landline?
I do, yes.
To Warren Buffett's house. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to order a pizza to his house or something, Chris? I mean, now I think we're out of options.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit the bit, so I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been to Warren's house?
Have you been to?
I have not been to his house, but I've been to his office, and we've spent a good amount of time. He's one of the best human beings to be around.
What do you talk about?
We've talked about business, life, think of anything. He's like a father figure when you talk to him. Like, he's easy, super easy to talk to, and, I mean, it's... Great advice.
I would
overall.
I'd have to give a little pushback about being super easy to talk to. He doesn't have a phone. That sounds a little bit difficult to reach.
In person. I'm more of an in person type of person when it comes to having those types of conversations. And I don't even like being on the phone most of the time.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? You're not a phone guy?
FaceTime.
Yes, you like that?
Love that with my kids.
Oh, please.
Especially when I'm on the road.
Right.
But I'd much rather interact in person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's how you and Warren are alike in that respect.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Dang it.
You didn't think the answer would be, can't do it, Warren Buffett doesn't have a phone. Not even a flip phone? By the way, new fantasy team name, Warren Buffett's Burner. Because he's got to have one. Give me a break. Okay. We don't know if you're going to be playing this fall.
We do not.
We do not. We are now in contact, face-to-face.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully I'm as easy. You've been to my house now, figuratively, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Whatever you need, whatever you'd like to do, please use me as a resource. And good luck to you on that front.
I appreciate it. I will definitely hold you to being a resource.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I feel like being in this industry and being able to potentially be a studio analyst of some sort would be absolute pleasure and amazing opportunity.
Excellent. And, Michigan-Nebraska week, we can FaceTime each other?
If you would like to. I'm not sure you're going to be happy.
Why? you're a big fan of Matt Rhule going there?
I am. Being able to talk to him and understand and see his legacy of what he's been able to do at Baylor, at Temple. Like, he's...
I noticed you left off Carolina.
Yes, football, NFL football is a little bit different.
It is indeed, is it not? So, okay, yeah. I mean, Michigan's coach can do both, but the bottom line is:
are we sure about that?
One guy went to he took him to the Super Bowl.
Took or won?
This guy,
my man,
a ring chaser. I like it. Good to see you, Indomitian Sue.
You as well,
Indomitian Sue, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're just getting started here on this busy program. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Rudy Gobert throws hands in the huddle yesterday.
Bonjour.
For the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, bonjour.
Como tali?
That's right. How do you say knuckle sandwich in French?
I mean, what a crazy person.
Kyle Anderson. Well, his Kyle Anderson told him something that apparently...
That's a word that'll get some grown men.
It was a mixture of words. A mélange, as the French might say.
Oh, bonjour, oui, oui.
And so Rudy Gobert didn't even get on the plane to Los Angeles.
Really?
So the Lakers will face the Timberwolves without Rudy Gobert.
Oh, wow.
And they will also face Timberwolves without Jaden McDaniels, who broke his hand in a fit of pique. So a lot of hands being thrown, one against the wall, one against the teammate. And that leaves the Timberwolves -2. Just a one-game suspension. So if the Timberwolves...
What are they doing?
...need Gobert against the winner of the Thunder and Pelicans, he'll be there.
I would have saved that suspension until next season or something. I mean...
You can't do that. He threw hands at a teammate. What are you going to do? We're all kumbaya. Thanks for the... you tweeted an apology, so we're all good? Look, are you serious?
Your season's on the line now.
Dude, I mean... Come on.
Such a weird year anyway.
He threw hands at a teammate.
Yeah. I get
what,
it.
Are you going to just say, we'll deal with it next year? We need
normally,
to win now?
I'm like, justice now. But also, if I'm running that team, I want to give my team the best chance to win and get into this playoffs. And
Brother. I disagree with you, but it's not like the loser is out. The loser has to just play another game.
True. I
mean, it's not like he hit him in the face.
Oh my God! This guy.
Like,
oh my
God! Right in the chest.
He threw hands. What's the matter with you people?
Because there is a difference.
What's like the matter with me, Rich?
Draymond punching.
Exactly.
That's one thing.
Here's what's the matter with me. Draymond knocked out his teammate.
Yes.
Out cold. Zero repercussions. So who cares if a guy like gave him kind of a love tap shove?
I mean, he punched him, but he didn't punch him. You know what I mean? Like, was he wrong? Yes, 1,000%. But like,
did he knock Poole out cold?
Poole out cold.
I mean, it looked like Poole was out. The wall woke him back up.
Oh, okay.
Like, and that was, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is really hurting your squad now, right? Like,
well, he hurt his squad. He threw hands at a teammate. You got to do something about that, man.
I get it.
He gives you the best chance to win. Do you care about winning or not?
And by the way, if speaking of winning, you want to talk about sometimes when wins don't tell the story. Three teams enter the Western Conference playoffs on a three-game win streak. Clippers, Warriors, Timberwolves.
Interesting.
So the T-Wolves have momentum. It got them out of the 9-10 game only to play the Lakers in Los Angeles without Gobert.
This is breaking right for the Lakers, isn't it?
Don't use breaking because Jaden McDaniels wouldn't appreciate it.
Sorry. Oh, Anthony Davis probably wouldn't either.
What a wild affair.
NBA playoffs is going to be so nuts.
Chris Mannix is about to join us to discuss it.
Where's Zion, TJ?
I mean,
nowhere to be
found. See you next year. See you next year.
Jaylen Brown also needs stitches?
In a weird, glass.
What the hell happened over the weekend? From the minute the Mavs pulled the plug to Gobert throwing hands.
I don't know.
What the hell happened over the last three games?
Hell going on.
Hell going on.
Gobert does have a long reach, though, man. You don't want to box that cat.
I saw that.
That jab will get you.
I saw it.
You scared of Brooklyn, TJ?
I mean, honestly, no.
Really? Mikal Bridges has been amazing.
I know. I feel good where the Sixers at. The Clippers, not so much. I got to be honest.
Speaking of which, were you the one who sent internally the text that Udonis Haslam in his final game scored more points?
Than Michael Jordan?
No.
No, is Adam who sent that out there?
I think it was Adam or Haslam.
He spent more points. He scored more points than Ben Simmons has in his entire tenure with the Nets.
In one quarter.
UD at 24, man.
At age 42.
He's been all these years then.
Right? Didn't he flip his age in terms of points?
He's there as a father figure.
Yeah, but he went out with 24, though.
Yeah, that was Adam. Adam sent that one out. That was a good one. That made me laugh and chuckle. What a day yesterday was.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then there's the, I won't discuss it because it's still too soon.
Uh-oh.
It's last night. We can't talk about it yet.
We can't talk about it yet.
One of the best hours of television, maybe ever.
Yeah, it's up there.
You're talking to...
Can't talk about it.
Oh, by the way, how about the Bruins, too? Boston Bruins.
Now it doesn't mean anything. Got to win the cup now.
They got to.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All-time wins mark.
My goodness gracious. All right. So that's it for hockey.
wow. Somewhere Jason Feller and Sully are upset.
It's the hockey playoffs. It's time to grow a beard and talk about it. Chris Mannix coming up next.
Wrestling fans, feel the podcast heat. Whoa! Join Hall of Fame wrestlers every week sharing their stories from the past. Click this with Kevin Nash.
I'm in the ring in my mind saying, that's Hulk Hogan. Like, Hogan's with us.
And insights on what's happening now. Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff.
We love breaking down the business of the wrestling business.
Ric Flair, Mike Mullen, Jake the Snake Roberts, good old JR, and more.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit. Just search Podcast Heat wherever you listen.